These are all very Rasika names of Krishna, very intimate names between Krishna and his very intimate associates. Lord Krishna is the beloved son, the son of Mother Yasoda. Can you imagine? Krishna is the son. Because we can't, Prabhupada says, imitate Yasoda Devi. We cannot become Yasoda. We can develop the mood of Yasoda, but not we become Yasoda. The transcendental lover in the land of Braj, Vrindavan. The delight of Gokul. Kana is a nickname of Krishna. The wealth of the lives of the gopis. He steals the mind of even Cupid and punishes the Kaliya serpent. These pure holy names of Lord Hari are full of sweet nectarian pastimes. Krishna is the Lord of the 12 forests of Braj. He is ever youthful and is the best of lovers. He is always playing on a flute, and he is an excellent dresser. Krishna is the protector of the inhabitants of Raj, the destroyer of various demoniac dynasties, the keeper and tender of Nanda Maharaj's cows, the giver of pleasure to the cows, land and spiritual senses, the husband of the goddess of fortune, the butter thief, and the beautiful cowherd boy of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna wanders along the banks of the river Yamuna. He stole the garments of the young damsels of Vraj, who were bathing there. He delights in the mellows of the rasa dance. He is very merciful. He is the lover and beloved of Srimati Radharani, the great dancer of Vrindavan, and the shelter and only refuge of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Is there any cartels? Today we're going to have I was thinking this morning we'll talk a little bit about the holy name. This song is all about the holy names of Krishna. There are two types, Gona Nam and Mukhya Nam. These are Gona Nam. These are very intimate names of Krishna, referring to his very intimate pastimes. Whereas other names, they refer to him in relationship to, we can say, the material creation, right? The creator, the all pervasive, the super soul, the controller of everything, and so on, Lord in the heart. And these are in relationship with this material Vishnu, coming from Vishnu. So those names are addresses, let's say. They're more like addresses. They're not rasic, they're not relationships, they're not eternal in one sense, and they're not related to the eternal pastimes of the spiritual world. They're relative to the Lord in this universe. So these are very special names. This is another pair of cartels. These are the clunkers. They seem to have had their better days, I think. They sound like some kind of tin lids. Maybe they can be checked out and removed if what I ascertain is true. Thank you. Yashomati Nandana Vrajabharanagada Yashomati Nandana Rajabharanaga Gokula Ranjana Kana Gokula Ranjana Kana Gopi Parandana Madanu Manohara Gopi Parandana. Kaliyadamuna vidana Amala harinam amiya vilasa Amala harinam amiya vilasa Itina
Purandara Abhinandakaro Puri Vipina Purandara Vajajana Pavana Surukula Nashini Vajajana Pavana Surukula Nashini Nanda Godana Rakkova Govinda Madhava Navanita Tastava Govinda Madhava Navanita Tastava Sundara Nanda Gopala Sundara Yamuna Tata Chadda Gopi Vasanahara Yamuna Tata Chadda Gopi Vasanahara Rasa Rasika Kripa Moheya Rasa Rasika Shri Radha Bala Vrindavana Natakara Akati Vinoda Shaya Akati Vinoda Shaya Amala Harinam Amya Vilasa Amala Harinam Amya Vilasa Amala Harinam Amya Vilasa Yashamati Nandana Vajapara Nagana Yashamati Nandana Vajapara Nagana Gokula Vanjana Abhinana Karabora Abhinana Karabora Abhinana Karabora Vajra Jana Palama Surakula Nashana Palama Govinda Madhava Navanita Tashtura Govinda Madhava Yamuna Tata Chara Gopi Vasana Hara Yamuna Tata Chara Shri Radha Balabha Vrindavana Natavara Shri Radha Balabha Vrindavana Natavara Thank you.
Vilasa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sure, Gaur Premanandi. All glorious to the assembled devotees. Harinam Prabhu ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnabhutta. Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Namaste Sarasate Devam. Gaurudana Charine Nirase Shisimivari. Ashta Chara Shatarine. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the sweets, Dale. I didn't pick those others. I had to go to the airline office and get back. We passed our airline office. I had to go in there and spend some time. I didn't go back to Christmas. Srimad Bhagavatam. 10th canto, chapter 54, text 26. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 It's about three lines of purport in the next 15 verses, I think. Listen, we may not read all 15. A few verses, maybe. Let's see what happens. Text 26, is that the one on the board? Yavan. Na. Mei. Tato. Vanai. Shaita. Muncha. Dharikam Smayan Krishno Danush Chitva Shadvir Vivyada Rutminam Yavannameyato Banai Shaita Muncha Dharikam Smayan Krishno Danush Chitva Shadbir Vivyada Rukminam Yavanme Hato Banai Shaita Muntadarikam Smayam Krishno Danushchitva Shadbir Vivyada Rukminam Yavaname hato banahi Shaita muncha darikam Smayan Krishno danushchitva Shadbir vivyada rukminam
Yavaname hato banahi
Yavaname hato banai
Shaita
muncha darikam Smayan Krishno danushchitva Shadbir vivyada rukminam Yavaname hato banai Shaita muncha darikam Smayan Krishna danushchitva Shadbir vivyada rukminam Yavaname hato banai Shaita muncha darikam Mayan Krishna Danushchitva Shadbir Vivyada Rukminam. Any mothers say this? Yavaname hato banai Shaita muncha darikam Mayan Krishna Danushchitva Shadbir Vivyada Rukminam Yavaname Hato Banai Shaita Muncha Darikam Smayam Krishna Danushchitva Shadbir Vivyada Rukminam Yavat Yavat While. Na.
No.
Not.
No.
May.
May.
My.
Ataha.
killed. Banai, by the arrows. Shayitaha, you lie down. Muncha, release. Darikam, the girl. Smayan, smiling. Krishnaha, Lord Krishna. Danuhu, his bow. Chitva, breaking. Shadbihi, with six arrows. Vivyadha, pierced. Rukminam, Rukmi. Okay, we carry on with Rukmi's praise of Lord Krishna. Today, Rukmi says, release the girl before you are struck dead by my arrows and made to lie down. In response to this, Lord Krishna smiled, and with six arrows he struck Rukmi and broke his bow. Shocked? Fair point. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that in fact Lord Krishna was meant to lie down together with Rukmini on a beautiful bed of flowers, but out of shyness Rukmi did not directly mention this point. This is a big transcendental leela going on here, and he's playing his part like in a drama. You know, you play your parts and you may be best of friends, but sometimes in a drama you have to be the arch enemy of your best friend, and you have to speak all kinds of vicious slogans or, you know, words of defamation or something like aggressive words. So indirectly you can see here Rukmi, out of shyness, Rukmi did not directly mention this point. Really fascinating topic. She won't go into too much depth today. So the other meaning of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says here is, because you are not killed by my arrows, Mayahatu, do not release this girl. Krishna said, why should I keep this girl? Rukmi replied, so you can lie down with her. Although Rukmi did not say it, the sentence becomes complete with the phrase, with the bed of flowers. In fact, Krishna was meant to lie down with Rukmini on a beautiful bed of flowers, but out of shyness, Rukmi did not directly mention it. Amazing. We will move on. Next verse. I'll just read the English. The Lord struck Rukmini's four horses with eight arrows, his chariot driver with two, and the chariot's flag with three. Rukmi grabbed another bow and struck Lord Krishna with five arrows. I'd like to speak a little more on this, but I want to get on to the subject which I want to share today. Although hit by these many arrows, Lord Achyuta again broke Rukmi's bow. Rukmi picked up yet another bow, but the infallible Lord broke that one to pieces as well. Iron bludgeon, three-pointed spear, sword and shield, pike, javelin, whatever weapon Rukmi picked up, Lord Hari smashed it to bits. Smashed it to pieces. Then Rukmi leaped down from his chariot, and sword in hand he rushed furiously toward Krishna to kill him like a bird flying into the wind. As Rukmi attacked him, the Lord shot arrows that broke Rukmi's sword and shield into small pieces. Krishna then took up his own sharp sword and prepared to kill Rukmi. Seeing Lord Krishna ready to kill her brother, saintly Rukmini was filled with alarm. She fell at her husband's feet and piteously spoke as follows. She, Rukmini, said, O controller of all mystic power, immeasurable one, Lord of lords, master of the universe, O all auspicious and mighty armed one, please do not kill my brother. So we can see here Rukmini is using we know as secondary addresses of Krishna, Deva Deva, Lord of Lords, Jagatpate, Master of the Universe. Well, these are various Kalyana, Auspicious One. Different words which address Aprameya, Aprameyatma, one who is immeasurable one, the immeasurable one. Yogeshwar, man, controller of mystic power. These are secondary names of the Lord, which can release one from the material world, but cannot establish one in one's loving relationship with Krishna. So she's using, because she's dealing with the secondary world, we're dealing here with activities which appear to be on this plane, in relationship to the secondaries. We discussed this yesterday. The secondary rasas in relationship with Krishna, which sometimes predominate when we misuse our independence. They always predominate. So he's very fortunate. He has a sister who is very compassionate towards him, just like Dhritarashtra had a brother who was very compassionate towards him, Vidura. Or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, who was very compassionate towards him. And by the mercy of, if one has a good fortune of having somebody who is really concerned, or Kaliya had the Nagapatnis, his wives, who were very much compassionate towards him, he should receive Krishna's mercy. This is the greatest friend we can have, is a friend who wants us to receive Krishna's mercy. Greatest gift we can give to someone. Let's see if there's any more purport. We've gone up to 33, by the way, Peter, so you can put 34 tomorrow. 34 does have another 3-line purport. Someone can take it up. And then there's another long list of verses with hardly any purport. Up to, anyway, you can put 34 up tomorrow. Can you remember that? 34. So let's see if there's any more purports in between. There are indeed some purports, which we will read. 32, there's a nice purport to text 32, which describes how Rukmini was very saintly, and she fell piteously crying at Krishna's, already it says, husband's feet, although not officially married, but it's considered in Vedic culture that as soon as a young chaste girl is touched by another man, that practically speaking, other than her father, of course, she's already married. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, Rukmini thought, what will people think if they know that my brother was killed before my own eyes? She was filled with fear because of this, not out of affection for her brother. The prema of the queens of Dwarka, known as Samanjasa prema, proper love, is dependent on public opinion. This is the difference between the love of the gopis, or those of Rajabhumi, and the love of those devotees in Dwarka. They are very concerned with public opinion. Just like we see the difference between when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he went to that village of the Brahmins. The Brahmins, when they came to their senses and realized that they should surrender to Krishna, but because of various considerations, including public opinion, and fear also, the danger of going into the forest, they were restricted from entering into the intimate association of Krishna, whereas their wives had no fear. They just went without any inhibition. Even though from the public point of view it would have been seen as an abominable thing to do, they had there was no restriction in their love, their flow of love for Krishna. It's pure devotion. Pure devotion services, not in any way. This is called Raganuga Bhakti, the difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. We have these two practices. Sadhana means practice, and there are two legs of practice. One is Vaidhi and one is Raganuga. And we're practicing Vaidhi right now. It means according to rules and regulations, public opinion, so many things. And that's how devotion, first stages of practice begin. Because we're in this conditioned state. We are very, still dependent or still attached in this world. That's natural. So Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is the way of engaging that situation in a practical way in relationship with Krishna. But the Raganuga Bhakti is spontaneous. There are no external impetuses. The impetus is simply unimpeded love for Krishna. The love of those in Raganuga cannot be restricted by any external consideration, time, place, or circumstance. What others think, what the result would be even. They don't consider that. They just, their flow of love for Krishna is uncontrollable. There are no restrictions. Now, when they're dealing with the material world, those devotees also may sometimes, in dealing with the material world, appear to control their natural flow externally. Internally, they don't. But externally, they do. Because otherwise, those who are still dependent upon rules and regulations or upon different designations of this world will misunderstand and may even imitate. And that's the system called, or let's say the malpractice called Sahajiism. For those who are still attached and are still conditioned to the material world try to imitate the behavior of those who are not conditioned, those who are actually free of all what was discussed yesterday, all anartas, all unwanted thoughts and desires, secondary desires, or desires separate from Krishna. So this is not to be imitated. Prabhupada describes in the Nectar Devotion, this will develop of its own in due course of time. This natural mood of loving, spontaneous affection towards Krishna will naturally awaken in course of time by the mercy of Krishna and by the practice of Vaidisarva Bhakti, by the mercy of the devotees, by the mercy of Krishna. This can be awoken in the purport, in the first canto, one purport. Prabhupada writes, the awakening of our dormant affection for Krishna, our love of Krishna, does not at all depend upon the mechanical process of hearing and chanting, but depends wholly and solely upon the mercy of the Lord. So the process of devotional practice is to evoke the mercy of the Lord. And we'll come to that a little later on. But we'll just finish this purport off, or commentary, by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to text number 32. She was filled with fear because of this, not out of affection. So this samanjasa prem, dependent on public opinion. What will people think? Whereas the prema of the Vraja Gopis, known as samarta prema, is much stronger. It's not dependent upon the opinion of anyone else, especially the public. However, one should not think that the general characteristic of prema, namely exclusive possessiveness of Krishna in a loving relationship, is lacking in Rukmini. Since within herself, she actually had no affection at all for Rukmini and other demons like him. This will be described later in detail. Exclusive possessiveness is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.2.2, the fourth division of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, second wave, first, second verse. So again, Rukmini is for the sake of others, may behave in such and such a way. You heard that, what's that verse? Bhagavad Gita. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by example, he acts, all the world pursues. How does it begin? Yad. I would quote this quite often to encourage persons who are in important positions to set the example, to behave in such a way, first of all Krishna conscious of course, but in a way that others can follow. This is the acharya. The acharya doesn't just put on a performance of devotional service like an entertainer or something, but he actually displays the means. He shows by his own example, life or behavior process, also practice, that we can follow by his own personal example. Teach by example. Prabhupada taught in this way, by example also. And where are we? It's 32. Ananya mamata Vishnu. When one is completely apathetic to all other objects and has developed an exclusive sense of ownership or possessiveness in relationship to Krishna, thinking of Vishnu and no one else as his object of love, such an awakening is called prema bhakti. This is real prema bhakti. There's two moods. One is I belong to Krishna, the other is Krishna belongs to me. On the higher level, Krishna belongs to me. He's mine. Prabhupada said that. He said there's only one thing you can say belongs to me. Nothing else, only Krishna. Of course, we can say that, but we're not on the platform to really, say warrant or let's say live on that platform. We're not on that level of adhikara or eligibility. But in principle, that's the only thing we can say is mine. Krishna is mine. He belongs to his devotees, as we discussed yesterday. that nothing else belongs to us. In the beginning stage, we learn to think, I belong to Krishna. I am the servant of Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. This is a little more elevated mood. Krishna belongs to me. And then the final purport here, text 33. There's no purport in the Bhagavatam, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has given a commentary on this verse. He writes, Rukmini said, you possess inconceivably great transcendental opulences, while Rukmini is the most insignificant of those who are controlled by you. You are the immeasurable one, Aprameyatma, and he is like an insect among the limited. You are I'll go slower, please. This is interesting. And he is like an insect amongst the limited. You are supreme among the demigods, and he is the lowest among humans, because he is inimical to you. You are the protector of the universe, and though he is evil, because he is within the universe, he is protected. He is also to be protected. Therefore, O auspicious one, with mighty arms, referring to Krishna, you should not kill this inauspicious person with no power in his arms. So how Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives the other angle of the meaning of these various verses, so we can understand everything. There's so many different angles of vision according to the particular application, according to the particular persons, and so on and so forth. So that's the end of the commentary up to text 33, and tomorrow you'll begin text 34. So we mentioned earlier on that the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, or Sadhana Bhakti, different limbs of devotional service are there. And I thought this morning we'll discuss, these are also like arrows, the limbs of devotional service are like the arrows of mercy which the devotees are showering on the world. They extinguish the blazing fire of this material world by showering upon us songs about Govinda, which are like arrows defeating all of our defeating all the enemies which are covering our consciousness, removing all the unwanted things in our hearts. Their words are like sharp pointed arrows sometimes, and some people see them like that. Actually they're covered in nectar, but to those who are in the material they sometimes seem very sharp. In fact, the definition of a sadhu, a saintly person, is one who with very sharp words cuts the attachments in this world. Just like an executioner with his axe or his sword is standing there at the sacrificial block. The sadhus are always trying with these words, transcendental words, to it's like an operation, I suppose you could say, cut out the unwanted tissues. They're very merciful. And amongst their methods, especially in Kali Yuga, the most powerful weapon, association of devotees, Mahaprabhu, Krishna Vanam Trishaya Krishna, Sangopangasta Parshva, Yoga Sankirtanam Prayu, Jantihi Sumedashaha. But those who are intelligent in this age of Kali will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by his every time I say something which is very, very special, something happens. And it falls over. Last week I was saying in Christchurch the curtain fell down, then all the books fell over, and the microphone fell down. All sorts of things happened. In Brisbane, something else happened in Brisbane also. Wait, what? Something? A bell fell off the altar or something. Yesterday a picture fell off the altar, now the bottle falls over. Better be careful. Maybe I shouldn't. I go on a mono rutter or something. And destroy the whole world if we go on like this. I hope you won't fall down. So this is the method. We worship the Lord, who is accompanied by his associates, who is always engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord. This is the army. Lord Chaitanya has not come like Krishna. He had Sudarshan Chakra, and he had his various other weapons too. Many weapons. Here we see him with a sword, bow and arrow, sword, using all kinds of weapons to curb or cut down the demoniac. But in Kali Yuga, the Lord doesn't appear with these weapons, generally speaking. He appears with prema, Sankirtan prema. This is the most powerful weapon, which doesn't necessarily, physically speaking, kill the physical sense or fill the physical body, but kills the mentality, changes the mentality. This is the real powerful weapon, which changes someone's mentality. other things may, other types of weapons may destroy the body, but they don't change the mentality. This Sangirtan mission, movement, these arrows of Lord Chaitanya's Sangirtan movement will change the mentality. They're transcendental sound vibration arrows. They're subtle arrows, sound vibration, which penetrate into someone's heart and create a change of heart. These arrows enter deep into the heart of the conditioned souls. The more, of course, the Pentecostal, like conception and our attentiveness or our reception, if you want to call it that. But even if there's not much reception, these arrows are more powerful than Brahmastras. They will find their direction and they will have an effect in course of time. Everyone who hears the holy name or chants the holy name, comes into contact with the holy name, is permanently benefited or benedicted. Now, where should we start with? Let's see. Okay, we'll read a couple of verses in praise of the holy name, then we'll talk a little bit about the name. This is a verse from the Brihat Bhagavatam Rita, Sanatan Goswami. Jayati jayati namananda rupam marare viramita nija dharma jnana pujari yatnam katamapi sakridatam muktidam paninam yat po paramam amitam ekam jivanam bhushanam me. All glorious to the all blissful holy name of Krishna, which causes the devotee to give up all conventional religious duties, meditation and worship. When some or another uttered even once by a living entity, the holy name awards him liberation. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my life and my only desire, my very life and my only treasure. Tunde ta tandavini vatim vitanute tundavali labdaye karna krodha kadambini gatayate karnam buddhivyasviham chita prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jani janita kiyad viramitai krishniti varnadvai. This is also by Rupa Goswami in the Vidugdha Madhava of Rupa Goswami. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Beautiful verse. By Rupa Goswami, I was thinking when it's mentioned here the word Krishna. The word Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. No. If it means when it's that which destroys all the impediments on the path. And as our heart becomes cleansed, just like Rukmi is. Out of shyness, he's not saying this, as mentioned in the purport, but the other meaning of his words are, you deserve, or you should lie down on a bed of arrows with your beloved Rukmini, your consort. So similarly, we make our heart. If we make our heart like a bed of flowers, Krishna will happily lie down there. He'll lie down with us there in the heart. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
You're smiling. So the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna and devotional service is preparing our hearts so that it is a suitable place for the Lord to sit down or lie down in our hearts comfortably, happy to be there. Not that he just has to be there as the permitter, the overseer, the guide, the big brother watching over us, rewarding us, punishing us, whatever you want to call it, for our attitude and our dealings with his energies. But rather the loving, our lover, the lover of every living entity. So when our heart becomes purified in this way, a beautiful, decorated with all wonderful qualities, the chanting of the holy name, purely, chanted purely, because of being non-different than Krishna, Krishna purifies our heart. Chaitra-dharpana margin, the heart becomes purified by chanting the holy names. Now this chanting of the holy names of all the directions, all the instructions, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here is one of his instructions. Tadamadhi Savashesha Nama Sankirtan Niraparadi Nama Laili Paya Premadan. When Lord Chaitanya was talking to Sanatana Goswami, he said to Sanatana Goswami, of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kind of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. Very easily. In the Jayavadharma of Bhaktivinoda Thakura, one can see that sometimes he mentions, and in other places also, he mentions that this can happen very quickly, this awakening of Krishna prema. But it has to, chanting has to be without offense. And we probably are aware of what the offenses are, maybe not all of us. I remember the first time I ever came to the temple in London, the very first time I ever visited a temple of the Hare Krishna movement. I had no idea what to expect. So one of the things that happened that day, amongst many other things, was they asked me to help them to pack incense. It was just a handful, not even a handful, one or two devotees were trying to pack incense, and I understood they had a large order to get ready by such a time. There was one other hippie boy and his girlfriend there, and myself and one devotee actually. And he asked us if we could help him pack incense. So we were happily away, packing away the incense. I was kind of used to this sort of thing. I was quite proficient at it, so I was quite enjoying it, actually. Just sticking, counting sticks and sticking them in packets for a couple of hours there. And amazing enough, it was real fun. But at the same time, this other devotee, who was an American boy, or devotee, he was preaching to us, whatever, speaking to us, I don't know if preaching would be the word, but he was speaking to us, and all I can remember of what he was speaking, maybe he didn't speak all the time, but I can remember one thing distinctly, the only thing that stuck out in my mind, was he repeated it several times, that's why. He said the first, I'd never been to the temple before, I don't even think the other couple had ever been before either. But he kept on preaching to us that we had to avoid the offenses whilst we chant the holy names of Krishna. Now, we were not chanting the holy names of Krishna. He was preaching to us to avoid the offenses. These are very important. You have to realize this. You know, when you chant Hare Krishna, you have to avoid the offenses in chanting. And he kept on and on. It was like a monologue or something. Like a record that got stuck. He kept saying the same thing. never kind of went anywhere. And we know, I mean, I didn't know what to say. He was already talking to this couple. I didn't know, maybe. Then I realized he was just kind of like, didn't really have much else to say. So, then, this other hippie boy, I didn't say anything, I was, let it be. The hippie boy said, well, what, you keep telling us about these offenses when chanting. Well, what are these offenses that you keep talking about? And he said, well, we've almost finished the incense packing, keep going. He had no idea what they were. So, although this is emphasized here, the first thing is to chant Hare Krishna. Don't worry about the offenses. Chant Hare Krishna. And of course we know that if we want to develop love of God, we want to come to that platform or purify our hearts, our chanting. It goes simultaneously, purifying our chanting, offenseless chanting. So we're going to just discuss a little bit about the chanting this morning, because chanting is... The Hare Krishna movement, there's no meaning to the Hare Krishna movement without chanting. Is there? There are other movements maybe there. It's not the Prabhupada Ki Jai movement. It's not even the Lord Chaitanya movement. It's not. ISKCON is just a name, a vehicle to facilitate the chanting of Hare Krishna. It's not that, you know, ISKCON is like our goal. It's a vehicle to attain the goal. Pure devotees come to give us direction to reach the goal. And the goal is to Krishna Pramartamahan, to love Krishna. And that is also non-different than pure chanting of the holy name. So in our practice, you can say our goal is Shudanam, pure chanting of the holy names. Specifically, we're discussing chanting, so we'll leave it at that for now. That our goal is to chant purely. Purely in the way that Krishna will be very pleased. Not that we're trying to use Krishna. Not that we're trying to use the name. But we're trying to serve the name. Sometimes we try to use the name. If I chant, then I will get this. But our mood should, I mean, that may be there in the beginning. What will I get out of this chanting? Will I get freed of sinful reactions? Will I be happy? Will I pass my exams? Will I become rich? Will my mother be saved from her cancer? And so on and so forth. Will I go to heaven? Will I go back to Godhead? Will I get liberation? Me, me, me. Okay, that's there in the childlike stage, the beginning stage, Namabhas. In the pure stage, that's not there. One simply chants out of pure love. It is none different than the love of God. Pure chanting. It is love of God. So just read a few things, eye-openers. Very interesting statements. Have you settled everything? Have you resolved all the problems of the world? Yes? They had a meeting this morning to solve all the problems that exist. And for 1 hour they simply sat and chanted Hare Krishna. Pure chanting. All the problems are solved. This is the essence. Whatever else we do, it may have to be done. We have to work, we have to do many things in life in this world, including meetings to try to organize things or facilitate. This Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada said, ISKCON, is a facility. Our society is meant to provide a facility, an environment where people can come. The whole purpose of management is to provide a facility to help people to chant Hare Krishna. That's what it's for. That's what this movement's for. To make it more easier and attractive for people to chant the holy names of Krishna. And everything else is subservient to that. It's important. And like in a battle, the goal is to, you know, whatever the goal is, defeat the enemy in different ways, blow them up, whatever it is. But everything else is also important. All the people working behind the scenes, preparing this and that. These things have to go on. Strategy is very important. How to achieve that. That's our strategy. How to spread the holy name of the Lord to every town and village. That is our purpose of management. How to achieve it. And how to achieve that in our own life, managing our own lives, so we can also not be an obstacle in that achieving that goal, but rather an instrument to facilitate it. So everything else is there and it's important, but if it doesn't actually relate to that, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj says, chanting is the best form of Krishna seva. That means service to Krishna. Chanting is the best form. If other sadhanas or practices help us to develop in our chanting, they deserve to be called sadhana or practice. Otherwise, they are simply an impediment on the path of chanting. Congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name is the king of all sadhanas. Of all practices, congregational chanting is the king. Now it's very interesting, the Jabali Samhita, I don't know if I got that verse, let me see if I got a little bit word for word. Yes, is this it? No. I mean, I have it here. I don't think I have it here. But it is mentioned in the Jabali Samhita, maybe we'll come to it later. Jabali Samhita is quoted by Jiva Goswami in his commentary to the Nectar of Devotion of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he states there a very interesting statement, extremely interesting. He says that if one actually wants to taste nectar in chanting the holy names of Krishna, then one should engage in Harinam Sankirtan. If one wants to taste the various types of bliss whilst chanting the holy names of Krishna, then one should engage in Harinam Sankirtan. Because whilst chanting japa, one experiences all kinds of things pop up. It's almost like a battlefield when we're chanting japa. Constant battle with our minds, practically. But when one's engaged in Harinam Sankirtan in kirtan, that doesn't take place. One suddenly finds oneself almost, you can say, transcending the mental state. You may take 30 minutes. Now, one of the problems is, I usually find it takes 30 minutes. And most of our kirtans stop just as they're about to begin. Most kirtans stop just as they're beginning, really. When just getting into the kirtan, boom, stop. Time to stop. Got other things to do. It's true, in one sense, we're not spontaneous. Usually after about 30, 40 minutes, you start getting off the mental platform and start surrendering to the holy name of God. Stop worrying about what everyone on the street's thinking about you. Or, you know, whether your dhoti is properly ironed or not, so that the girls are attracted to you, or whatever you're doing. Or looking in the shop windows thinking, hey, look, there's a new computer over there. It looks better than one I've got. Hey, it's damn cold out here. I better go. If I don't get back, there'll be none of those samosas left in Gopal's. I better get back quick. Or whatever else goes through our minds, or even worse things than that. Those are the better thoughts that go through our minds. Then about 30 or 40 minutes, usually, loud chanting. Loud chanting is the recommended method of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj of controlling these nonsense thoughts, or let's say these useless thoughts. They don't have any value at that point of time, which go through our mind by loud chanting. And that way, he quotes, or rather he Goswami quotes, the one will be able to taste ecstasy or pleasure, bliss, call it what you may, whilst chanting. People will smile and dance and sing on the street. Even they're not, amazing thing, even though they are not at all practicing devotion and service, you see this even happens to ordinary people on the street. If you tell them, here's a japa bag, here's some japa beads, sit down here and chant Hare Krishna, you'll be in ecstasy. They will not agree with you. But if you say, hey, just come and dance and sing, then suddenly their faces are beaming, they're spinning around. Sometimes they're going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna! Sweeping their heads on, the big smiles on their face, and they go dancing off down the street. Even they're not, you can say, maybe they've done something before, but in many cases it looks like that's their first contact sometimes. So it's a very wonderful thing. That's why it's the king of all sadhanas, this Hariam Sankirtan. It really is the powerful force. This is Mahaprabhu emphasized. He didn't emphasize japa much. Haridasa Thakur did, of course, his representative. But he emphasized more the Nam Sankirtan, the dancing, chanting of the holy name. He's the king of all of our sadhanas. And there's no higher practice of devotional service. So without, if our other activities do not help us to develop, or the taste, or our advance in our chanting, then they're not, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj doesn't even consider them as being sadhana at all. It is the only infallible sadhana, that means chanting, capable of bringing us to perfection. It is infallible. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not teach deity worship in his Sikshastakam. He taught chant the holy names of Krishna. Now I haven't really prepared any systematic order particularly. I'm just going to talk a little bit now about advance, or how we can be more serious in chanting. Now we can take chanting whether we're chanting japa or whether we're chanting kirtan, but specifically japa. Japa is like our medicinal, the course of, it's like a curative course. People go on courses sometimes for health cure courses. And Harinam Sankirtan is like going on a binge or something like that, and relishing the nectar without any reaction, without any negative reaction. It's really special mercy. Whereas japa is like going on a bit of a kind of a health course or something. So we look at it like that. So here we are sitting down in the temple, wherever we are, sitting in our bed, sitting in the bathroom, wherever we do our japa, sitting on the beach watching the seagulls go by, or something even worse than that, and chanting our japa very attentively. Absorbed in samadhi, trying to find something else to do instead of chanting japa. I must say, I'd like to thank everybody here, especially in the morning japa. This is one of the best temples in the world for sincerity and seriousness about japa. At least, I don't know inside the box, but outside the box it looks very good. I have not had the ability to get inside people's boxes and see what's actually going on in there. What type of boxing fight is actually going on in there. But externally it looks very good. And that's a good start. I don't know what happens up there in the Prabhupada's room. Ladies, I don't know what you're doing up there. But down here the men are doing pretty good. And most of them are sitting there, and they have to go to work, so they have to pop off at certain times. But in general, they sit there, or some of them walk if they're a little tired, which is not surprising. But they sit there very well, and sometimes for an hour and a half, just chanting on their beads. And it looks like they're taking it very, very seriously. So I really thank everyone for the inspiration and the encouragement. And it's a very good example. It's very rare in the Western world that you see this. Very rare. Sometimes there's nobody whatsoever in the temple room chanting. Sometimes it's very few anyway. Everybody finds something else to do during japa. More important things to do than chant Hare Krishna. Right? Sometimes our mind thinks like that. But here's very good. This is a very good example. And credit to all the devotees, a credit to the management, a credit to everybody that they are working on that. And it's in a very good direction. We can always improve. Because it very much encourages others to show by example. So maybe inside there's things going on, but we know that there are things going on inside which are not very Krishna conscious sometimes. But this is the process of gradually bringing the wild horses of the mind under control. Sit down, just go away, come back later, right now I'm busy. So let's read a few things. Cherishing memories of sensual pleasures while chanting japa revives the false ego. Have you ever had that experience? Cherishing memories of sensual pleasures. Cherishing them. It doesn't mean they don't come, but cherishing them. That means like embracing them, kissing them, literally speaking. Yeah. Oh, beloved thoughts. Oh, wonderful thoughts. You are my best friends. I love you. I want to think more and more about you. And cherishing these thoughts of sensual pleasures of various kinds revives the false ego and fills one with the enjoying spirit. At times like this, one must reinforce his thoughts of service. We have to keep reminding ourselves, I'm not the body. Wait a minute, I'm the servant of Krishna. These are basic. Not that, oh Krishna, I love you, I don't love these thoughts. We're not at that level quite. We don't love these thoughts and love Krishna simultaneously. There's a process of clearing away this aversion to Krishna first before affection awakens. Be indifferent. This is a quote from, I think, from Hari Namchintami. Be indifferent when nonsense ideas of sinful thoughts arise. Be indifferent. Do not welcome them with open arms. Bad thoughts will don't forget this is going on in the mind, not with these ones. Definitely don't do that. But in the mind also. Do not welcome them with open arms. Bad thoughts will disappear by not identifying with them. They're not us. They're like a television program going on. You turn the wrong channel on, So don't identify with it. And it will go away. That's the nature. If you have any enemy, Prabhupada say, don't feed them. They'll go away. If you want someone to leave your home, don't feed them. They'll go away shortly. So don't feed these thoughts. They come. They're going to come. They come to everybody. But don't identify, at least when we're chanting, but don't identify with them. And by telling yourself with conviction, I do not want these thoughts, I have nothing to do with them. Gradually, the mind will give up its nasty habits and happily honor Krishna's name and hold on to his lotus feet. This is concentration in japa. This is our level and sadhana, vayisadhana bhakti, of our expression of a desire to awaken our affectional love of Krishna. The mind is, we discussed it, that we won't talk about that again, the different impressions that go on the mind. One can silence it by loudly chanting the holy names, two ways. Loudly chanting, now of course, time and circumstance, you have to be considerate of others. Not that, you're in the temple room. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare! He said, I heard him in the class yesterday. My mind, I got to loudly chant. Hare Rama! It might disturb others. Maybe it's good for our mind, I don't know. But that's not exactly what it meant. It means audible. And sometimes it may be kirtan, dance and chant, you can chant loudly there. But generally when chanting japa, it's not the general standard, we scream at the top of our voice. And another thing, this is perhaps very relevant. We are not alone. It's not me against Maya. And Krishna's like, you know, the boxing gloves or something, or whatever it is, the football that we kick around, you know, me against Maya. He's not a football. Holy name is not a rugby ball or whatever it is. But he is there to help us. We have to appeal to him. The devotees are there to help us. We should pray to Krishna for help, for his mercy, that we can chant his holy name in a way that will please him. A few more things. Inattention, which is basically what we're talking about. There are other offenses, but inattention, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, even though one may be avoiding all the other offenses in chanting the holy name, still one does not get even one drop of a taste for the holy name. Even though you're carefully avoiding all the 10 offenses, which I'm sure you all know, but even if you are avoiding those 10 offenses, still one may not get a single drop of taste for the holy name because of inattention, which is not officially counted as namaparadha. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It's a stage of namabhas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur includes it in namabhas in many places. Sometimes it's counted as it is offensive. Namabhas is also offensive, but it's not, strictly speaking, usually included in the 10 offenses, because it is the junction between namabhas and shudanam. It is that which turns us into the world of namaparadha and shudanam. Attentive chanting in the right association evolves into shudanam. Inattentive chanting results in namaparadha. So attention is like the key thing. That is a sign of how serious we are, of how much we want Krishna's mercy, how much we want to become Krishna conscious. It's attentive. Trying to be attentive whilst chanting. And there are many distractions, we know. In the beginning it's understandable, but if we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, we should try to facilitate our lives in such a way and encourage each other to understand the importance of attentive chanting and try to avoid inattention whilst chanting. So we'll just read a few things about this. Let's see. This inattentive chanting restricts the growth of Krishna conscious devotional service. And in another place in Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it actually sows the seeds of all anartas, or unwanted desires. The seeds are there in our heart. Inattentive chanting allows them to be sown in the, you can say, in the field of our consciousness. And you become overwhelmed with so many different material attachments and thoughts. And also, it is the it causes the awakening of all other apparatus or other offences whilst chanting. If we're inattentive, the other offences become strong, and they can actually drag us down into the platform of namaparad, and gradually any attraction we have will be eroded, or at least curtailed, and one may even fall away in one's devotional practices. So, and there's an interesting quote here from Prabhupada, how to become offenseless in chanting, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in the Sikshastakam states that he has no taste for chanting the holy name. Now, of course, we can say he's speaking on our behalf. If he has no taste, then what hope is there for us? He's the supreme personality of Godhead appearing in a form to relish the mellows of pure devotion, and then he says he has no taste. This is simply a waste of time, this whole thing. But that's not the point. The point is he's teaching us out of his humility also. Because there's never a question of, now I've got the taste. Now I've got the taste. I've got it. That's it. Now what? The taste is ever increasing. It's not like an ordinary taste that goes up and down. This taste of the holy name or service to Krishna is ever increasing. So Mahaprabhu said he had no taste because of offences whilst chanting. You know this? That's stated there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We don't say that in the Sikshastakam. But in the actual translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, I have no taste, I'm so unfortunate, I have no taste for chanting the holy names. And the line, Krishnadas Kaviraj's Prabhupada's translation anyway, says, because of offences while chanting. So, inattention is also included, namabhas or namaparadha, but it is still inclusive in the obstacles on our advancement towards pure devotion service. Prabhupada said, offenseless. How to become offenseless? Someone asked Prabhupada. How to become offenseless? And I mean, this is just one thing. You can look at it many different ways. But Prabhupada said, offenseless, he must be properly initiated. It does not mean that he should not be initiated and chant. That is not the idea. You can, of course, but one must be initiated. Either you are a grihastha or a sannyasi or a brahmachari. Not that without being initiated you will whimsically chant and the effect will be the same. No, initiation must be there. One must accept a guru. Of course, in the beginning, that consideration is not particularly emphasized. But if we want to advance and come to the offenseless Shudanam platform, pass beyond the Narta Nivritti, if you read in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, one will see that Rupa Goswami gives that stage as one of the stages, Ado Shuddha, and that he gives this as a stage. Accepting initiation as a stage, which is preliminary even to Bhajana Kriya. And the performance of Bhajana Kriya under the guidance of a Shudanam Bhakta, someone who's a pure devotee, leads to a Narta Nivritti. Otherwise one's devotion, one's so-called bhajana, remains forevermore. It's called anishtita, anishtita bhajana kriya, unsteady devotional service, which will not awaken our love of God. It's when we come into contact, when we chant in the direction of one whose devotion is nishta, is not in any way, as we discussed last night, nivritta trishna upadiyaman, vavoshiti chota manobhiramat. One who's nivritta trishna, they have no inclination or no material objective whatsoever in their devotional service. Their only purpose of service is to serve or please Krishna's senses. So when we chant under their direction, then by their mercy, it's not mechanical only, but by their mercy, chanting under their guidance in the way that the process, and then Prabhupada goes on to say, no, they may chant, but they must understand that the chanting process, that will be effective. What is the process? That they must know. Chanting is open to everyone. Anyone can chant, but they must know it, that if I chant in the proper process, then it will be effective. So this is the proper process, to chant under the direction or guidance of a pure devoted Lord, one who is Shudanam or Shudabhakta. And then the chanting, by the mercy of Krishna, will have effect. Otherwise we remain chanting for millions of lifetimes, Bahu Jamayari Kariyari Shravana Kirtana Tabutanapaya Krishna Kari Prima Dana. We can chant for millions of lifetimes. But as long as there is this offensive is there, we will not taste love of God. We will not get love of God. It's by the mercy of the Lord, mercy of the devotees, and chanting on the process that they give. So that we, by the mercy of Krishna, our hearts become cleansed, we lose all these other ideas, and we develop the pure intention, the pure objective to chant the holy name without any other motive other than pleasing Krishna. So that takes time, but it's the mercy of the pure devotee. And part of that is to take, Prabhupada says here, he must be properly initiated in order to come to the offenseless stage. Because without the mercy of Krishna, those coverings, those anartas and unwanted desires in the heart will not go away. This material energy is dirachita. It's very hard to overcome. It's only by the mercy of Krishna that we can get out of this material world. And when we're chanting japa, it's by the mercy of Krishna that our chanting can actually become purified. We also have to desire and recognize it. Of course, we all know the very famous verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Sinichena, Tarorapi Sahishana. Maybe you don't know, but this is the key verse in chanting the holy names according to Krishnadas Kaviraj. One should be very humble and meek, and to offer one's desires and chant prayers composed in glorification of the holy name. Now this is another clue Prabhupada gives us here, 7th canto, chapter 5, text 23. One should be very humble and meek, and this is how you become humble and meek. One offers one's desires and chant prayers composed in glorification of the holy name, such as Ayi Mukta Kulayu Pasya Manam Nivritatrishna Upigiyaman, which we just quoted just now. One should chant such prayers to become free from offences at the lotus feet of the holy name. And also appeal to the devotees, not just the Lord. Root 6 Goswamis, for instance, H.I. Gosai Kori Charana Vandan Yahoiti Vignanasha Vishtapuran. By taking shelter of the 6 Goswamis, one Yahoiti Vignanasha Vishtapuran, one can become freed of Abhishtapuran. When all one's desires can be fulfilled, Yahoiti Vignanash, Vignanash, destroyed. All these other unwanted desires are destroyed, Yahoiti Vignanash, Abhishtapuran. And one's real desires can be fulfilled by taking shelter of the 6 Goswamis, praying to them for their mercy, their strength. and attention whilst we chant the holy names, so that we can bring more pleasure to Krishna. One or two more things we'll read. One must diligently, this is a famous quote from the Harinam Chintamani, one of our favourites, one must diligently complete the prescribed number of holy names according to his vow, and he must always check that he chants his rounds sincerely. Those who chant distractedly, this is turning the other way around, those who chant distractedly are always eager to somehow complete the fixed number of holy names and be done with it. This is a sure sign of inattentive chanting, he says. It means that our chanting is at best namavas, if we're lucky. It is important to concentrate on the quality of the chanting and not on trying to artificially increase the number of holy names. We have a minimum 16, but we should also concentrate to try to develop quality in chanting. The name of the Lord should be pronounced distinctly. Only by the grace of the Lord can this be achieved. Again, grace of the Lord. It's not some, you know, practicing. You go to eloquent. What's that? They go to school to the elocution lessons. So you stand in front of the mirror. You know, everything's perfect. That's okay, but that's not the actual solution. Only by the grace of the Lord can this be achieved. Thus one should pray to the Lord that he never falls victim to the wiles of illusion or distraction, and that he can continue to taste the full nectar of the holy name. By the mercy of the Lord. True humility means to develop a taste for chanting. Interesting. And to become a true servant of the holy name. Have full dependence on the holy name. Trust the holy name. Service to Guru and the Vaishnavas. We read this the other day. We mentioned, but this is the actual statement. Service to Guru and the Vaishnavas is the gateway through which we develop such taste. It's how this humility develops, by service to devotees, service to other living entities, service to the Guru. This mentality is the one. There's so many quotes here about the importance of service to the Vaishnavas, service to the Guru, if we want to develop a taste in chanting the holy name, because it's by their mercy. This purifies our heart, develops the mood of humility, and with a humble state of mind, tolerant, respectful to others, then the holy name is very pleased and bestows his mercy upon us and gives us that taste, and we want to chant the holy name always. One should never be inattentive to complete one's prescribed number of daily rounds. This should be noted day by day. When chanting these prescribed rounds, one should avoid the different types of inattentiveness. Giving up the desire to increase the number of rounds for show, one should attempt to first concentrate nicely on what one can manage. Therefore, the devotee starts by chanting with full concentration in a peaceful place like the temple room. He will always be praying to the Lord that he will chant clear, attentive rounds with the mind fixed on Krishna. For on one's own, one cannot accomplish anything. Krishna's grace is necessary to cross the ocean of material existence. Being anxious in heart, one should beg for mercy. And because Krishna is merciful, he will help. Whoever does not try for that mercy is very unfortunate. Srimad Harinam Chintamani. Prabhupada another time said that our success in chanting depends on our willingness to hear. So hearing, Bhagavad Gita said, Krishna says, if you don't hear me, you'll be lost. You have to hear me with an attentive mind, otherwise you'll be lost. Same thing when we're chanting japa. And I think maybe Aniruddha Prabhu was at the japa retreat with Burija and Satchinanda Maharaj in November. Were you there, Prabhu? Aniruddha Prabhu? You missed it. I wasn't there either, but I heard no end of these reports about the things that happened to the devotees when they were there. We were all positive. The devotees turned into zombies or something. No, they were all positive. I don't do any service anymore. I heard nothing was more important than the holy name. Everything else is of no insignificance. No, none of that. That's not the meaning. It's not the result of chanting the holy name either. Even though we read earlier on, the Prabhupada said that Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada said that all other sadhanas are not sadhanas at all unless they help us to develop our taste for the holy name. And in another occasion, Prabhupada said in Mayapur, one girl said to the lady, she said, "I'm sick, Prabhupada, I can't serve you very nicely." Prabhupada said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm just, all I can do is chant." Prabhupada said, "That is service, that's the topmost service." He said, "Actually," Prabhupada said, "this is all we should be doing, chanting the holy names. I have to rack my brains day and night thinking of things for you to do because you can't chant Hare Krishna all the time." Along those lines, that was his answer. But of course, all these other things are very important. They're also part of the mission. They're part of our purification. They're necessary. But we should always understand, keep the focus in mind that the goal of it is to actually become absorbed or develop that loving taste for chanting the holy names of Krishna. To chant incessantly means to be engaged in chanting Harinam at all times. Now, this is the other angle. Even when we're doing service, there are times when we can chant Hare Krishna. And that was always recommended in the beginning. Always. There are so many letters where Prabhupada said, you know, we don't have a taste in chanting. You say, chant more, chant more, chant more. And I say, how can we develop a taste in chanting? Prabhupada said, you chant more. Just like a drunkard. How do you become a drunkard? You drink. You associate with drunkards and drink. Drink, 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 and you also become drunkard. Prabhupada says similarly, you chant, 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 you'll also become chanter. By association and doing it. In this, if we're not doing it, oh, come to the temple, the Hare Krishna move. Come to the temple, no one chanting. People, this is the essence of the temple. It's a place where hearing and chanting as much as possible is going on. And I know, I've experienced in various times, you meet the devotees like Jayananda and others, always chanting, washing the pots, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, cleaning the floor, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, walking down the street, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, everywhere they go, chanting, chanting. And there's so many letters where Prabhupada said, there's no hard and fast rule for chanting, you can chant anywhere. In the toilet, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, you should chant Hare Krishna while passing stool. He wrote it, it's there. It's in the folio, you can find it. I would say, in the bathroom, in the toilet, everywhere you can chant. There is no hard and fast rule. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, well, in his Prem and Jayabhadana, said, to chant incessantly means to be engaged in chanting Harinam at all times, even while eating. Oh, Hare Krishna! Well, you said I had to chant whilst eating. This is a pretty difficult thing. You put the food in the mouth and go, Hare Krishna! Move along a little bit for that guy. I'm going to sit next to him. Sit next to him again. Doesn't mean at exactly the same time. But Mahaprabhu and his associates, they were chanting between bites. Hare Bo, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Bo. Yes. Walking while bathing and performing all the regular physical duties. The only exception is sleep. Oh, you're off the hook. There's a time of the day you don't need to chant whilst you're sleeping. The only exception. There may be, obviously, you've got to use your common sense. There are other kids' situations where you don't. But, you know, if you're a big person, you can even do that. Ringo Starr, believe it or not, out of the Beatles, we don't really think much of Ringo Starr, isn't it? George Harrison's number one. John Lennon was okay for a while. George Harrison, Paul McCartney was a vegetarian, came to our temple, liked Prashad, and says Hare Krishna now and again. But Ringo Starr, no, Ringo, well, he's nowhere. You didn't even think about him, do you? But believe it or not, about a few years ago in London, one lady came to the temple, said, I want a Bhagavad Gita. She was a really well-to-do lady. And she said, actually, she was a fashion designer in New York. And then Elizabeth was asking, how did you come to hear about this? He said, well, one of my previous boyfriends turned me on to Krishna. I said, who's that? He said, Ringo Starr. He said, every time I would talk to him on the phone, he'd say, Hare Krishna, how are you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He just kept telling me about Krishna. And then he didn't go far, but I thought, what is all this about? Tell me about me. Hare Krishna, movement, you're going to find out about it. She came to the temple, got the Gita, and she'd lost her Gita, she came back for another one. So, you know, you don't know what's going on out there sometimes, who's preaching and how they're preaching, but people like that, they can say Hare Krishna to anyone, but, you know, you may lose your job if you say Hare Krishna to everybody. You've got to use your common sense. But in principle, we should try to utilize every time, every moment we can for chanting Hare Krishna. This is the best use of our human form of life. There are no restrictions for chanting according to time, place, or circumstance. One may be in a pure or impure condition. Om pavitra pravitrova sarvastam garubhiva yaksmat pundri kaksham sabaya bihantaram shuchihi. Clean or unclean, it doesn't matter. Chanting the holy name overrides everything. Even we do all kinds of yogyas and this and that. What's the point of all the yogyas? Is to bring people here and get them to chant Hare Krishna. That's what the goal behind it is. It may take a little time. Temples, everything is there, necessary to facilitate people so that they can actually come, knowingly or unknowingly, and chant Hare Krishna. And even if they're false. The interesting thing, when Bali Maharaj was cursed by Shukracharya to go down to hell, after that, Lord Vishnu spoke to Shukracharya. Bali had already gone down, and he sent, but it wasn't more than hell, it was better than hell. But anyway, he spoke to Shukracharya after and said, "So, what was Bali Maharaj's fault? Tell me, Shukracharya, what did he do to deserve this?" Shukracharya replied to Lord, he said, "Tantatas mantatas chidram, deo kalaha vastutaha." That actually, even if all the tantras and all the mantras, all the circumstances, all the arrangements, all the chanting, even the priests, even the time, even the place, everything's wrong, which it may be sometimes, nevertheless, he said, "Nischidram, anusankirtanam tava." Nischidram means everything becomes faultless. Anusankirtanam tava. If one chants the holy name of the Lord in the right process, everything becomes faultless. Even if everything else is full of faults, everything becomes perfect by the proper chanting of the holy names. And this is, to my understanding, is Prabhupada's mission and mood in Krishna consciousness. All the other things are equally important in one sense, because without them there is no support for the chanting of the holy names. We're not transcendental. We will fall down very easily. So many things, even down to Varna Ashrama, everything is there to give support, to facilitate our actual service to the holy name and our chanting of Krishna's holy name. One or two more things. I keep saying that, don't I? Okay, this is the last page. Here we go. The pages seem to be unending. If you want to increase, Prabhupada said this a few times, it's not in the folio, but it's quoted by Rohini Sutta, by Svavas. These are two very senior disciples of Prabhupada, and several other places it's quoted in different conversations. If you want to increase, then you must chant your rounds uninterrupted. After beginning your chanting, you do not stop until you finish. So that may not always be possible. We know it's not always possible. Various other things have to go on. Maybe nature's call, maybe different things, maybe time also. But as much as possible, Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to chant their rounds uninterruptedly. Now we can take that in different ways. We can say uninterrupted by time, uninterrupted by other circumstances, which sometimes are essential and have to be dealt with. But as much as possible, we should adjust our lives in such a way that the most important thing in our lives, as we heard earlier on from Prabhupada and from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the chanting of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada wrote, I think, to Satsrup Maharaj, he said, of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the most essential instruction is to chant 16 rounds. This is the most essential, minimum. So, you know, this is the most important thing in our lives. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is our time with Krishna, the most important person, you know, Radharani and Krishna. So we should give the best time to the best person for the best thing, to achieve the best purpose. You know, so the best time, Kurt Prabhupada mentions, is the Brahma Muhurta hours. So if we can, early morning hours for chanting japa, the most potent or most results, most benefit is obtained at that time. Just hear the name, Prabhupada said. Difficult to control the mind? Someone said, very difficult to control the wandering mind. Yes. What is the use of controlling the mind, Prabhupada said? What is the use? You just have to hear and chant, that's all. What's the question of the mind? Well, we know it's not as easy as that. But I said, just hear and chant. And if you can just hear and chant, then what is the question of the mind? There's nothing else, that's it. You know, it's not so easy. We know we're not so strong. Our intelligence is not so sharp to keep our focus on the sound vibration. We can follow this example. This is Haridas Thakur. However, we can follow his example. We can't imitate, but we can follow his example. However, by chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on our beads every day and offering respect to the Tulsi plant, this is also very important. You have to chant. If you want to become pure of offenses, you have to chant with a pure devotee of the Lord. There are no pure devotees in ISKCON. You have to come over here and chant over here. Some people say that. What nonsense. What nonsense. The purest of the purest devotees is sitting right in front of us and we're going over there. What a fool. Tulsi Devi has personally come into this world. Radharani and Tulsi have corroborated together to arrange a curse so that Tulsi will bless everyone in the universe by giving her association so that we can chant in the association of a pure devotee. They're so merciful. And then we say, I don't believe that Tulsi is a pure devotee. I don't believe that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. I've got to go over there. What mundane mentality. Tulsi Devi has come into this world to give her association. Mahaprabhu himself would sit in front of Tulsi Devi and chant. Haridas Thakur would sit. Prabhupada says here, this is not at all difficult for anyone. And the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with a vow before the Tulsi plant has such great spiritual potency that simply by doing this one can become spiritually strong. Therefore we request the members of the Hare Krishna movement to follow Haridas Thakur's example rigidly. Chanting 16 rounds does not take much time, nor is offering respect to the Tulsi plant difficult. This process has immense spiritual potency. One should not miss this opportunity. We will finish there. It's getting late, actually, and no time for questions, I'm sorry. A huge subject matter. It's the most important subject matter in one sense in our practices. And we just hope that you've picked up something. Maybe you can remember some of the jokes, or something like that at least, or whatever it is. And hopefully the right thing is something has been remembered, and something which we can apply in our lives to help each other to take up this golden opportunity of this human form of life. Doesn't matter where we are, we're at home, we're in the temple, we're on the street. Krishna is everywhere. We can connect with Krishna anywhere by humbly chanting the holy names. Humbly approaching him by chanting his holy name. We wish you all the best in your chanting. And we hope that we'll be chanting together in the near future. We're leaving today. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Haribo.